Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing studying to be free. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your goodness and your graciousness in our life. I thank you for the ability that we have to draw near and near to you in relationship as we operate the power of the Holy Spirit within our life. We study your word and become aware of your promises and your will for our life and become knowledgeable of what you are doing in the earth through us. God, I thank you for you giving us the desire to fast and to pray and to fellowship with like-minded believers, God. Father, I thank you for how you will reward us openly, God, when we pray secretly, when we do our deeds secretly, when we fast secretly, and when we forgive those who have transgressed against us openly. I thank you for how you reward us openly so that we can draw others to you by showing them what it really means to be a child of God. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to this song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
For bread.
Somebody just help me say that.
It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shooting me out for speed. Every oak will be destroyed.
I believe it.
Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere.
Help me say it.
It's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving and it's breaking.
Nobody else. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say they take this that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the
earth. Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing studying to be free, and studying to be free is important because what you'll find in the world today is that many people are so confused because so many people who call themselves Christians are saying a million different things. And we know they can't all be right. And yet, they all say they're Christians. So why this becomes important is because God is made it clear to us that it is His will that we study His word for ourselves, because our relationship with Him is a personal relationship. This is not about theology. It's not about which religion is going to be more powerful or which train of thought is going to be more influential or more popular. This is about reality, about what is in the spiritual realm, about what is in the Word of God, about what is in the world according to God's design. And God has done such an incredible job of preserving His Word from the beginning of time and the stars throughout the past 6,000 years of mankind's civilization here on earth, through many translations from stone tablets to the scrolls of the Torah to the written text that we had printed on the printing press with King James Version, and now today with our electronic media in many different forms that allows us to approach the scripture in virtually any language and understand what God meant when He spoke His word and made it known to us. But we have to study His word in order to be free of those who would use God's word in order to trap us, in order to enslave us, in order to burden us even more than we were before we knew God at all. And this reminds me of the trap that was set for Eve when she was deceived by the serpent in the garden, when the serpent asked her, "Can you eat of the trees of the garden?" It was a seemingly benign question. It didn't seem like a very harmful question, but the fact was the serpent was questioning the word of God. And Eve's major fault in that situation was that she simply did not know exactly what God said. And after she responded to the question and it was clear that she didn't know, then the devil knew he could have his way with her and get her all the way to the point of believing a lie, that God did not mean what He said, because she did not know exactly what God said in the first place. So she added a word, changed a word, took out a word, and by the time you knew it, you had no word at all, and all of a sudden the devil was just able to come right out and say, "God didn't say that," just an outright lie, right? And deceive her into believing that there was something more available than what God had already blessed she and Adam with, which was the absolute best of everything they had. Everything was brand new, and it was all theirs, and it was not enough. Says something about the condition of our hearts even before sin, that we would entertain such a notion. But once again, she was deceived. Look at what it says here in 2 Peter 1:21, so that we can understand what we're speaking of when we speak about the word of God. In 2 Peter 1:21, it says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And that is important for us to understand, that the Holy Ghost is the one who brought the word of God to holy men of God who spoke what they heard the Holy Spirit tell them. It didn't come by the will of man in old time, according to this worse. It came by the Holy Spirit as they were moved. As holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit, the holy men of God spoke what God said, and it was recorded. And what this means is what the men, holy men of God, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit was authorized by God. And when we read the Word of God, when we study the Word of God, we have to understand that it comes from God, has been preserved by God. And yes, there have been some things that have happened in translations. Yes, there have been some attempts to tamper. But because the Word of God has been so well protected by God, He's only going to confirm what He meant and protect His Word, and He uses many different mechanisms to protect His Word. So you'll see that no matter what translation you manage to be studying God's Word in, it is very obvious when there are blatant attempts to manipulate the Scripture. And that's important to understand, because when you study the Word of God for yourself, you begin to see what is and what isn't. You can discern what is true and what is false. And that's important to understand. Your confidence in God will grow as you study God's Word. But what's going to make you study God's Word is, one, knowing that it's not something that was written by the will of man. Let me give you an example. There's a similar prophecy, a similar religious text that was written by the will of man. It is called the Quran. It is what Muslims study. And the fascinating thing about the Quran is you don't have a million translations of the Quran. You have one, because men got together and they created this text. And they said there is going to only be one text, and we're going to destroy the original manuscripts, and this is going to be what it's going to be, and it's never going to change. And that is something that occurred by, in old time, by the will of men. Men could do that. But God has been progressively revealing and rolling out His revelation from the beginning of time as recorded in the stars. So you're not going to go back any further than recorded in the stars. And then when you go to recording it so that we could study it, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's important to understand, because the Holy Spirit can only say what God tells the Holy Spirit to say. And so there is no room for error. Many times the error is in our understanding. Many times the error is in the way that things have been taught over the years and traditions of men. And it's interesting, because the way things used to be hundreds of years ago was that if you were not rich, if you were not educated, if you did not have means, then a copy of the Bible was not available to you. It was not accessible for you to study the Word on your own as it is today. Today, especially in the United States, we have Bibles everywhere. Your average house has two or three Bibles in it. Now, whether they're open or not, that's another question. But what we're in, if anyone has a phone these days, most people do, you have access to all translations of the Scripture if you go to BibleHub.com. Try that sometime. Just go to BibleHub.com, and you can study any verse in any translation at any time you want. So there's no excuse now for not studying. The decision, though, is responding to that desire in your heart to please God, to know God more, to serve God, and trust God and operate in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can grow, you can build up your inner man, you can be at one with God and reconciling the world back to Him. And when you know this, when you really begin to study God's word with a purpose, then you're going to see yourself get free. And the reason I was mentioning that a long time ago, hundreds of years ago, your average person like you or I could not have a copy of the Bible. We were not encouraged to study the Bible because the powers that be understood that if you had knowledge of the Bible, you would be aware of how much power and freedom is available through the Holy Spirit. And that kind of empowerment is something that scares those who are in power. Those who are in power are the ones who get to teach you what they want you to know. But when you let the Holy Spirit lead you in your study through the Bible, God will get you exactly what you need for the day, the 24-hour period of grace and mercy you're about to enter into, especially if you study at the beginning of the day, early in the morning, and you let God speak to you. He will give you exactly what you need to know today to be fully empowered and released to do exactly what He needs you to do. Because it's important that you're free and available for God at all times, because He's our Heavenly Father. We want to please Him, we trust Him, we want to serve Him, and we want to use all of the power that He's placed within us. And when we submit to His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Master, and we let Him direct us through the power of the Holy Spirit within us, then things get done. We begin being fruitful in our knowledge of God. We are winning souls for the kingdom. We are not barren in our knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. And that is important for us to understand, because we want to be fruitful. We don't want to be barren. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. It tells us to preach the word. It says, "For the time will come when men will not tolerate sound doctrine, but with itching ears they will gather around themselves teachers to suit their own desires. So they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths and fables. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." See, we're given specific direction, specific directives during a time such as this. See, the time that we live in right now is a time when men will not tolerate sound doctrine. They would rather hear something fantastical, something that they've never heard before, instead of what is exactly in the Word of God right in front of your face today in English or whatever language you need to study the Word of God and understand it. But it says men won't tolerate sound doctrine, but with itching ears, they are eager to hear something new, something they've never heard before. They just want to be entertained. They will gather around themselves teachers to suit their own desires. And so whoever's going to make you comfortable, whoever's going to make you feel good about yourself, whoever's going to make you want to give them whatever money you have, right? They're going to tell you. They're going to tell you everything you want to hear, because they want your money, they want your time, they want your skills, and you want to be entertained, and then you want to be released of any responsibility to do what God has given you to do. And the first thing God has given you to do is study His Word. See, studying God's Word is not optional in your relationship with God, because God magnified His Word above His name. And in doing so, He's telling you that everything you need to know is right there in His Word. So you must study God's Word so that you can know what God is doing. God says He calls us friends and not servants, because servants don't know what their master is doing. And Jesus Christ says, hey, you're a friend of mine, you're a friend. I disclose what I'm doing to you. It's right in God's Word. And so when we know that, then we don't have to be like those who turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. They're more interested in these fantastical stories and things, legends and fables and tales and being in search of the Holy Grail than seeking the truth of the Word of God that is real and making that real in their life. So it tells us, unlike these people who turn away their ears from the truth, we're supposed to turn toward the truth by studying God's Word. We turn away from myths and fables, and we are sober in all things. We endure hardship. We do the work of an evangelist. We're reconciling the world back to God, and we fulfill our ministry. See, whether your ministry is minister of reconciliation, whether you're an apostle or prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher, whatever your ministry is, you must fulfill that. You must do that. You must make cool proof of your ministry by doing whatever God has given you the grace to do. See, grace is God's unmerited favor, and it's also God's enabling power. And when God enables you to do something, it is almost effortless. It is what you do naturally, because it is who God has made you to be. You don't have to force it. You don't have to make it happen. You don't have to get a whole bunch of people to call you by a certain title in order for you to be who you are. When we read in the Gospels and we read in Acts and we read through the rest of the New Testament, you don't hear a whole lot of apostle this and teacher that and all of these titles that we ascribe to one another, evangelist, so-and-so. You don't read all of that. You read Peter. You read Paul. You read Philip. You know, you are reading about the people. And, you know, yes, if we're talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's something else. You do hear His title, because that is the one that counts, right? But for us, our ministry is made known by what we do. So if you are a minister of reconciliation, then people will see you winning souls. You're not going to be barren or unfruitful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be producing souls for the kingdom. The kingdom is going to be growing. If you're an evangelist, same way. You're going to be winning souls who are winning souls. If you are a teacher, you're going to be teaching faithful people who are able to teach others also. If you are a pastor, you are going to be caring for the mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, and financial well-being of God's sheep. You're going to be feeding God's sheep. If you're an apostle, you're going to be charting new lands, and you're going to be bringing that special message for people in specific regions and domains that need to be conquered for the kingdom. And so all of these things are demonstrated by what we do, not by what people call us. People can call you anything, and I've been called many things. What people call you doesn't make you who you are. What you do, who you are, makes you who you are. You could call me a killer, and you would be wrong because I never killed anybody. So we want to be careful about making our walk with Christ, not making our relationship with God something that is fake, something that is made up, something that is fiction. See, our relationship with God is real. God's word is real. God's plan for our life is real. And when we study God's word, to really be directed into all truth, then we're going to see things in a different light. We're going to be empowered to do all God has called us to do. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's been inspired by God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, woman of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, it's interesting here, when we look at this verse, when it says in the beginning, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, we read in 2 Peter 1:21, it was given by holy men of God, that spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, not by in old time by the will of man, right? But it was given by holy men of God who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So all scripture was given by inspiration of God through holy men of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that scripture is profitable. It is profitable. It is supposed to produce in our life fruitful, productive knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, it's interesting because that word truly is an internal furnishing. It's not thoroughly. It's not everything that you can see outwardly. It's truly, it's outside and inside. It's everything. You are furnished unto all good works. You are fully empowered to do everything that God has called you to do. And the reason for this is because you're what's going to win others to the kingdom. You are the living epistle. So it tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, this is one of the reasons why we have so many Christian denominations, is because you can, anybody can read the word of God and divide the word of God. But to rightly divide the word of God is to study the word of God so that you can see, what did God actually say? What did God actually mean? And when you read God say the same thing in 50 different places, and then you find two verses that seem to contradict those 50 verses, it means there's something that we're lacking in our understanding that we need to study in detail in the two contradictory verses so that we can see, are we missing something in the context? Are we missing something in the translation? Are we missing something in the original language? Is there an Orientalism that we don't understand? What is it we're missing? Because we know God can't contradict himself. We know that God's word is perfect. So this is why we study, to show ourselves approved unto God, because we don't want to be making stuff up. We don't want to be just saying what everybody else is saying, especially if that's not what the word of God was saying. I'm going to give you an example. When I was young, I was in a church that didn't believe in water baptism, but they believed in receiving the Holy Spirit through speaking in tongues and prophecy and all the manifestations. And so I was raised not believing that I needed to be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And so I was 30. By the time I was studying, and now I was saved, but I was not. But I was 30 before I was water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, when I was young, when I was a kid, they sprinkled me in the Methodist church and the AME church and all that. But that type of baptism isn't exactly the baptism that occurs when you make a decision to give your life to the Lord. And I was studying the word for myself in my late 20s, and I kept seeing these examples in the word where water baptism, the household of Cornelius, they received the Holy Spirit, then they were water baptized. That was the first time the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2:38-39, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, you know what? I read other verses, many other verses. And I had to renew my mind to what the Word of God said. I had to, and it wasn't easy, because a lot of the people I loved, a lot of my closest relatives, they believed what I used to believe. And in deciding to go against that and submit to the authority of the Word of God, I was literally isolating myself. I was alienating myself from those who identified with me as agreeing with them. I had to choose whether the authority of the Word of God was greater and more significant than the approval of the people that I admired and loved. Because, you know, the things they taught me were 90% correct and very useful. That I could not be here teaching you today if I had not learned the word that I was taught in my childhood, in my youth. So I am grateful. But we have to grow to the point where we can eat fish with the bones in it and pick the bones, not choke on the bones, pick the bones out and learn how not to swallow a fish bone, right? When we're older, we're responsible for what we put in our mouth. And just because it goes in our mouth doesn't mean that we have to swallow it. If you feel something that feels like a bone on your tongue, you're supposed to take it out. Do not swallow it just because somebody you like cooked the fish, or someone who's honored you to be at their table, and they might be president of the United States or a king or somebody. You don't have to swallow it. You are responsible for what you swallow. And that's why we're all responsible to study the Word of God for ourselves. And as we do that, then we're going to be free. You're going to be free to submit to the full will of God and not led about by every wind of doctrine, by every preacher of the day that becomes popular. I want to look at a number of scriptures very quickly that are going to reinforce your presence, but let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. It says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, add to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And see, that's what is at risk. When we don't add to virtue knowledge, when we don't add to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and the godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity, we are at risk of being barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we are just doing things in faith without virtue, without knowledge, without temperance, without patience, without godliness, without brotherly kindness, without charity, then basically we're operating in a religious way without love. See, because love is always giving. Love is always thinking about somebody else. Love is thinking about, one, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, meaning that you please God, you serve God, you trust God, you operate in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. And then loving yourself. And as you love yourself, you're able to then do this work that you add to your faith. See, the faith we were given, the faith of Jesus Christ was given to us. And now we add to our faith virtue. That's what we do. We add to our virtue knowledge. That is what we gain. We add to our knowledge temperance. That's what we do. We add to temperance patience. That's how we do it. We add to patience godliness. That's how we do it. We add to godliness brotherly kindness. That's what we do. We add to brotherly kindness charity. That's what we do. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning, it is God's will for you to be fruitful and productive in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're to be winning souls for the kingdom and producing the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. These things are to be ours. And look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 19. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord, our Master Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God." See, we're to be filled with all of the fullness of God. And when we are rooted and grounded in love, Christ dwells in our hearts by faith, and we are strengthened by might, by his Spirit in the inner man, and we're given the riches of the glory. According to the riches of his glory, we are given this ability to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And we're in a place where we're filled with all the fullness of God. That has to be something that we see as a desirable outcome. Look at what it says in 1 Timothy 4:15, "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." See, when people see how we profit from this walking in the knowledge of God, when they see how profitable it is to study the Word of God, and to receive sound doctrine from the Word of God, to receive reproof from the Word of God, to receive correction from the Word of God, to receive instruction in righteousness from the Word of God, to be perfected and have everything that we need, and we're producing good works in our life. These things are to profit. They're to appear to all so that they can be drawn into the kingdom of God the same way we were drawn into the kingdom of God, and to know that God is with us. He's doing a complete and perfect work. Look at what it says here in Colossians 3:16. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts." See, we, when we are teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with grace in our hearts to the Lord, we are letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And it is the love of God that's being shed abroad in our heart that is making us think of others. It is making us edify and build up, comfort others. It is making us exhort others. And look at what it says here in 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." See, the word of God is to transform us and take us from glory to glory, from grace to grace, from faith to faith. And we're supposed to be increasing in our knowledge of God and drawing near to the throne of God, near to the presence of God. And that is the difference between the law of Moses and the law of Christ. The law of Christ measures how close we are to God by removing any obstacles that be on our way, like our imperfections. God has given us mercy so that all we have to do is ask for his forgiveness, and we receive his forgiveness, and we can boldly come before the throne of God and know that we are worthy to be there because the blood of Christ has made us worthy. And we get to this place where all of a sudden we understand that serious about the work that he's doing in us and to us and through us and with us. And we're not debating over which version of the fable or myth or fiction we are studying today. We want to know for ourselves exactly what did God say, exactly what did God mean, because the word of God is full of God. And that's where the riches are. That's where the benefit is. That's where the glory is. Look at what it says in Philippians 1:6. It says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." See, God wants us to be confident. He wants us to know. He doesn't want us to be guessing like Eve was guessing when she was asked by the serpent, "Can you eat of all the trees in the garden?" And she was like, "We can eat of all the trees in the garden, except the tree that's in the midst of the garden. Neither shall we shouldn't eat of it, neither shall we touch it." Well, God never said anything about not touching the fruit. He said, "Don't eat of it." But she added that. And when she added that, the devil knew she didn't know exactly what God said. That's why we got to study. We got to read. And you do not need to be a trained Bible school taught scholar to study God's word. The Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you in these things. But yes, there are teachers in the body of Christ to help you study God's word, so that if you have a question, not for them to give you the interpretation, but to direct you to the scriptures that you need to study so that you can see what God is saying. Because when you get before the throne of God, it's not going to be acceptable for you to, "Hey, Lester Carver told me X, Y, and Z, and he was wrong." No, It's not going to cut it. Because it's your responsibility to study for yourself. And that's why I give you the word. I give you the scriptures mostly because only the word of God can cleanse you. Only the word of God can strengthen you. Only the word of God can free you. Only the word of God can provide for you the type of nourishment that your spirit needs. Look at what it says in Philippians 1, verses 9 and 10. It says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ." See, it is your love that is going to abound more and more in knowledge and in judgment. See, your desire to God's work in the earth toward others so that you can free others who are in bondage is actually going to free you. Because in order to free others, you have to be free. God wants you to be free. He wants you to be available for him. But if you don't study his word, you're not going to be free and you're not going to be available. You're going to be bound by every wind of doctrine that men throw your way in order to suck up resources, suck up your time, suck up your attention in order to glorify them. And this is one thing you're going to find is that when the word of God is being spoken, and God is being glorified, you're going to hear about God, you're going to hear about Jesus Christ, you're going to hear about the Holy Spirit, you're going to hear about the Word of God, you're going to learn how to study God's Word, and it's going to make you free. But when that's not happening, you're being placed in bondage, you're being tied up, and what you're going to hear is some man's name, some organization's name, some address of where to send them money. In some place you can go live without the pressures of the world where you can work for them for free. See, God is trying to free you up so that you can be free to serve him. Look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things, which is the head, even Christ. See, God's desire is for us to speak the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things, which is the head, even Christ, and to not be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive by the latest book and the latest fad and the latest craze, newest denomination and most charismatic leader of all time and all of Christendom. You know, if the people handling God's word are not pointing you to the throne of God through his son, Jesus Christ, they are misleading you and taking you over the cliff and bleeding you of the resources and the ability that you have to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The ability to love yourself, the ability to love others is going to feed somebody's overgrown ego and overgrown organization, and you're being robbed. The devil's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And God sent his son Jesus Christ so that you can live more than abundant life and be free. So I just want to encourage you to seek God's word, study God's word, and hear part of God when you study God's word for you each and every day, at the beginning of the day, and if not at the beginning, at the end of the day. or a time that is most convenient for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone for today. I thank you for you having blessed someone and for you drawing them near and nearer to you right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Live Network and your host, Lester Carver, with Tuesday Night Teachings, Be Ye Transformed.
If I can hear from you,
then I know what
that I know.